Welcome to the Functional Health Coaching Show, where we are here to support and answer your questions so that you can help people on a deeper level get real results and grow your health coaching business. Do you have questions you want to ask live on the show? You can call in every Friday at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 1-347-637-1378. Are you looking to increase your credibility and grow your health coaching business using functional lab testing and data-driven protocols so that you can confidently solve health issues? Well, we have the course for you. Go to fdn.today/show to learn more and sign up today. Okay, let's join today's episode.
Well, hey guys, thanks for joining us. You've tuned into the FDN Fantastic Friday Call, also known as the Functional Health Coaching Show. It's July 10th, 2020. I'm your host, one of your hosts, Brandon Mollet, FDN practitioner, mentor, and clinical advisor. And I've got my co-host here, Ryan Monahan, and I think he follows most of those same titles, too. So we're all deeply involved in FDN as far as the education side and also on the practice side. So we see lots of folks every week and apply those principles, things you learn in the course, and we've parlayed those into successful businesses that we enjoy doing. So I don't think I'm putting words in Ryan's mouth too much, but we have a good time doing the work that we get to do. I'm very thankful for what has come our way and what it's done in our lives and hopefully in yours too. So whether it's with your health or professionally, we just hope the FDN is an awesome thing for you. So guys, thanks for tuning in. We do this every Friday afternoon, just about maybe two or three times a year we might miss, but if we do, we give you a replay. And again, it's July 10th, 2020. This is a live call, so if you want to call in and talk with us, ask a question, we'd love to hear from you. Number to do that is 347-637-1378. Again, 347-637-1378. And just hit 1 on your keypad button or the electronic button or whatever it is. I guess it's, I say keypad, because most people are hitting their keypad. So hit 1, and I'll know that you want to come on and say something or ask a question, make a comment. It's fine just to say hello. If you're out there and just say, hey, I'm listening, join the call, or you guys need to shape up a little bit, whatever, we'll take it. But I'll call out your area code. I'll get your name. You can ask a question or two, depending on how much time we have and how many people are waiting. So welcome to the call. Thanks for spending an hour with us here. These calls are archived, so you can go back and listen to them from weeks past or years past. So these calls go back many, many years, actually. It's been an FDN tradition, one of the long-standing ones we've had to come on and connect this way. Now, we use different technologies as well, like Facebook and Zoom, and we have a lot of those going pretty often as well. So either as a trainee, you have options there for Zoom calls, at least 1 a week, maybe sometimes 2, depending on what we have scheduled. So you can jump on a Zoom call and chat with us face-to-face, questions about the course, things you're working through, questions in general. We make ourselves very available when it comes to that, so check out those. And also as a graduate, right, so through things like Ryan and Jennifer are doing there with AFTNP, there's weekly trainings, there's weekly guests, there are so many things that we're offering to you guys just to help you succeed in your business, to get more education, more training, or just get your mindset straight, whatever it is. So happy to support you guys. Don't want to forget about my co-host here, so I'll say hi to Ryan. Ryan, man, how are you?
Hey there. Happy Friday, Brandon. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Thanks for being with us. So we'll answer a few more questions here. I've got some questions that are written in, but again, if you guys want to jump on live there and ask a question, you can do that here in just a few minutes. So I do want to congratulate a few graduates this week. Now, I'll check in with Ryan if anything he's got going, maybe with AFTMP or other things that that he's involved with, but every week we have graduates, and we're pretty thrilled about them. So we like to say hey and acknowledge people on air for that achievement, because it's not something that you do in a weekend. It's not something you do in a month, typically. We had a few people do it in 2 months, but most of the time it takes some time, and it takes some juggling of your schedule, prioritizing of that, plus going through the material and showing that you know it and performing at a high level even before you graduate. You know, that's what we're looking for with all the practicals and exercises that we offer and ask you to do, we want you feeling confident when you graduate. So we're going to make sure of that. So it's not something where you learn, then you go practice for 3 years to get good. We make sure that you're good right when you graduate. So these people here, free this week, very proud of them and excited to see what they're going to be using it for. I got to do two of these verbals. I've got a helper here with Shannon Plummer to help me do some verbal finals as well. Just you guys are just on the calendar and want to get completed with the course. And so I've got some help doing that. So you might get me or it's a chance you also might get Shannon to do it with you. And she's become an awesome mentor. She actually took the FTN course about a year before I did. So we were early on in the history of FTN as far as practitioners go. But regardless, it'll be a good session for you, and we'll make sure that you're ready to go and do this amazing work. So three that we want to congratulate here, and we're staying in the U.S. here today for this one. So I have Kelly McMillan from Massachusetts, and then Lee Cooper from Florida. And on the other coast there, we've got Ariel Salegi from San Francisco, California. So, guys, congratulations. Great job. Tremendous. How about that, Ryan?
Congratulations, everybody. It's awesome.
It's very cool. It's very cool. So keep it coming. Keep going through your practicals and book in for those verbal finals, and we'll make sure you're good to go. Then you get to start. And again, call on these calls. Take advantage of all the things we have for you to utilize for your business and practice. Okay. Well, just a reminder here, FTN Conference. Yeah. Go ahead, Ryan.
Question. I was going to ask you a question. How many FDN graduates do we have now total around the world? Do you have a rough idea of that?
Mm-hmm. Boy, rough idea. It is probably pushing at least 3,000 and maybe more than that at this thing. I haven't looked in a while. It's thousands now. Not everybody is using that actively. That's the good thing about the course and the certification is that you can take it and you can just work on family and friends. We have many people taking the course to just utilize the information and the lab testing for that aspect, or people that are taking it and incorporating it into what they're already doing, so more of a part-time basis, but a lot of people doing it full-time as well. So that's as far as I know, but I need to check that stat. Maybe I can have it for us next week.
That's awesome. I was going to guess about 3,000, and it's so cool to see all these new graduates coming in every single week.
It is, and we're still short. We still need more FDM practitioners, so because everybody's not healthy yet. And
yeah.
All joking aside, we do hear that, right? So from other licensed practitioners, doctors that utilize FDNs, and just the health of the nation, there's only so many people you can work with at a time. You know, unfortunately, there's a somewhat of a limitation if it's just you and you know your one-on-one consultations and your conversations with people. Group calls are great and they're a good thing to utilize, and videos are great, but you still can't beat a one-on-one conversation and knowing that practitioner is focused only on you at that time, and they're thinking about your case, they're fully engaged in that process. And I don't know if we're going to ever get past that type of human communication.
It's absolutely true. And you're right. We need an army of FDN practitioners out there. I often say that most people can't count on one hand a number of healthy people that they know in their lives, between their friends, their family members, their coworkers. There's just a lot of people out there that need our help.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
It's true. Mm-hmm. And some of them don't even know that we're around. That's the thing, too. So we're all part of that as well. So, you know, this call, AFTMP, all the outreach and things that we do, that's not necessarily a business activity like we're advertising Coca-Cola or some company advertise to try to sell a product there. I think it's much bigger than that. People are looking for something. I actually just had a call this week with a potential client, and I heard her say out of her mouth multiple times, I just feel like there's something else I don't know that's missing. I just have to figure out what's causing, various things she has that's going on. There's just this constant searching and trying to find. I just don't know how to find it, and I just don't know if I'm have the education or smart enough to do it. So I think a lot of people are in that situation they know that, okay, the prescriptions, those aren't doing it. The counseling, that's not doing it. It's somewhat of a help, but it's just, I know I'm not complete and whole like I need to be and not functioning at 100%. I might not say 100% function, but there's just this yearning, this searching for something different, for some kind of answers. And so that's what I feel like that we do with every bit of outreach we do, is just saying, hey, look at this. There, if you're looking for answers, then we have a methodology that can help you figure that out. And that's more, I feel like, what we're doing than anything. So people just don't even know that this is even a process a person can go through, that you can even figure these things out. It's not all just guesswork.
That is 100% true. I mean, prior to becoming an FDN practitioner myself, I had just started to learn about functional lab testing, but for the most part, it wasn't even on my radar. And wasn't even aware that things like gut infections and heavy metals could be screwing up my health. So there are people walking around out there, you know, struggling to find answers to their health issues. And many of us FDNs came to this kind of practice with a similar story ourselves in trying to go the pharmaceutical route, or, you know, try different conventional medical approaches, and, you know, ultimately ended up just kind of chasing their tail and, you know, like Reed says, you know, playing whack-a-mole with our symptoms.
You're right. So we fulfill a big role, and I think that's what drives people to complete the course, like these three have this week, is that, hey, there's something that people need help. I think we're all helpers. We want to do some good in the world. And what better way to do that? That's a great gift that we can give the world is this process. So, well, speaking
there
of
is no greater gift than health.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. If you don't have it, you definitely know that. Even in an acute situation, you know, chronic is terrible, but even in an acute situation, if you have, you know, a toothache for a couple of days, all you think about is your toothache, you know, during that time. So it is tremendous. It's good.
I always tell a story where I was sitting on the beach in Cancun in Mexico. You know, I was literally in paradise. And at that stage of my life, I was still at rock bottom in terms of my own health complications. And it was no vacation at all. Because if you're continuing to suffer inside of your own body, it's really hard to enjoy what's going on outside around you.
Like I can feel that. I've been to that place too. Not Cancun on that beach necessarily, but you're right. Everything should be great, right? Like everything's pretty much going good in life except for the health thing, and that health just overshadows, lack of health overshadows everything. So you can empathize with people, sympathize with people very easily. Well, another reminder before we jump in more into questions here is just the FDN conference. So it is full steam ahead. So October 23rd to the 25th, San Diego. Again, we've got some amazing speaker lineups coming together. It's going to be a good weekend. Go ahead and make plans to come. Even if there are some changes with stuff going on in the country, there's going to be some accommodations made. So looks like everything is going to be going forward, you know, barring something even more gigantic that we have going on. But we're excited to have everybody come and hang out and enjoy and learn. Meet together that weekend, come safely, leave well, get home safe, and it'll be a memorable one. So FTNconference.com, keep that in mind. Big plans to be with us. We're going to have a good time there, so just wanted to not forget about that. Okay. Well, Ryan, any kind of updates AFTNP-wise that we need to know about before we jump into some questions?
Nothing in particular, just other than if you have any kind of clinical questions, join the group. If you're already in the group, tag the word #clinic, and I will answer your clinical questions as soon as I am available to. I've also recently did a little interview with Piper Gibson for the Real Results Show, if anyone wanted to check that out. We talked all about mold and how mold illness can affect your health. So, you know, nice little short little 30-minute segment. We didn't go too deep into some of the clinical details, but it's a good overview of how, you know, mold might be affecting you, might be affecting your clients. And, you know, sometimes we have to dig deeper and look at some of these clues as FDN practitioners And that's definitely one of those kind of next level sort of complications that a client can be dealing with, especially if their needle isn't moving on their health. Definitely always worth keeping an eye on, and at least, you know, being educated and knowing when to look for those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. That's a big point there. You don't have to be an expert on it necessarily, but be knowledgeable enough about it that if you see those signs and symptoms, you can think about that as an option. You know, there's a lot of these hidden kind of stressors that are there that could be actually sometimes the biggest blocking factor. And it's not that you're not doing a good job with FDN as an FDN practitioner. You're probably doing exactly what you need to do. You're following the system very well, but you have those people in those cases sometimes that, like Ryan said, the needle's just not moving. Okay, that's when I have to think about, okay, is it, like I said, mold there? Is it some mental emotional thing that's going on? Is it, breast implant illness? Is something dental that's going on? Is it something in their life I just don't know about? Not many people, many practitioners, are going to turn over every rock and leaf and look and think about all sorts of possibilities and have the guts, really, and the caring to bring up some of these things. Because if you say, okay, you know, if breast implant illness is a thing, then okay, then you're looking at, you know, explant surgery and then a road to recovery from that. If you've got a mold situation, remediating mold isn't always the easiest or the cheapest thing to do. But if that's the thing that's holding them back and they never know that, and they might live in the next 20 years still in that situation because we didn't know to say something or didn't say anything, or didn't reach out and put a post out there on AFCMP and say, hey, I've got a client that's struggling like this. That one moment, that one mention of that and going down that pathway, leaning into that, that might be a total lifesaver for somebody. So knowing a little bit about all these different things that aren't maybe the foundational first thing we think about is really key. I think that's more of the importance of the continuing education that we offer.
Absolutely, and that's where we can also rely on the FDN community. So as we learn about our fellow practitioners in the FDN group and the FDN community, you know, we start to learn who specializes in what and start to, you know, have a catalog of practitioners that we might even reach to for help. And, you know, there are practitioners that specialize in PCOS. There are FDNs that specialize in working with children. And there are some that work in specializing with mold illness. So we don't always have to have all the answers. We can also rely on each other. And, you know, we can ask questions in the group. You know, we can, you know, always potentially even refer out to a practitioner that might have more experience in a certain area.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. That's a good feeling. You're saying that it's like a security, you know, that comes with that.
Yeah. And what it means is that can always help no matter what, right? Mm-hmm. And so if I have a client that comes to me and with a complicated situation and I'm not sure of where to take it, I'll just be honest and say, you know, I'm not exactly sure, but there are some people that I can lean on where I can find some answers for you.
Uh-huh. Our community is tremendous. It's a great community. There's not there's very few bad apples in our community, that is for sure. Good, solid folks.
It's a good group.
Mm-hmm. Ryan keeps them in line there on the Facebook page, at least. We try to.
That's right. I've cracked the whip. Yeah.
Right. But
yeah,
I can see you doing that.
For real, when you're working with a client, you had just mentioned that, you know, there might be more than 3,000 FDN practitioners. So if you're hesitant to start your practice, think of it this way. It's not just you that's in practice. It's the 3,000 other people that are behind you and potentially there to support you.
Yeah, exactly. If you think you don't know what you're doing or you're unsure confidence level-wise, you have an army of practitioners ready to help and behind you. Yeah. Uh-huh. I said that in the very beginning. Even before AFCMP, this is maybe a couple of years graduated, I just thought, wow, I've always got somebody I can call in and ask about and lean on and ask the next step, somebody that's got maybe 15, 20 more years experience than I do. So it's so amazing. And so that did give me personally a big boost of confidence going in and working with people. So, and that confidence comes through on your onboarding, on your sales calls, when you're just on your discovery calls, whatever you call them. That confidence has to come through. People People can tell when you're not confident, when you don't know what, feel like you know what you're doing. Even if that's untrue, that you do know what you're doing, people pick up on that. They want somebody they can trust and they feel good about and is knowledgeable. So if you are in that place where you feel like maybe you're not coming across as confident in your sales calls, maybe just take a look and think, hey, I've got this community here. This is not an advertisement for AFTMP. This is just generally the group of FTM practitioners that we have. AFTMP is the way that everybody is really connected to the organization. But just the fact that you have all those people that you can call on, that should boost our confidence that, hey, we're going to have answers. I mean, even medical director consults, right? You have the opportunity there to chat with us that have, you know, Ron and I have seen a lot of different labs over the years. So we're bringing all that information to bear on those calls. You get a half an hour, or if you want more time, you can have more time. Look over a case and help you go through every single aspect of it. So if those things aren't building your confidence, I think maybe you're just blind to that and just need to focus on what you have there. We're happy to help. Hey, we're spending part of a Friday afternoon with you guys. So it's a beautiful day in Kentucky. I can be outside. But I'm happy to be here with you guys. All right. Well, hey, we've got a caller on here. So I'm going to take the first question here. I've got 215 area code. Hello, 215. What's your name?
Hey, guys. How you doing? It's Evan Transu.
Hey, Mr. Evan.
What's up, Evan?
Cool. Yeah. So, not much. Doing well. So I just wanted to hop on here today because I posted this in the group about 2 times, and I'm still looking for my last person, and I figure the Friday call would be a great way to do this. So a couple weeks ago, I posted about, you know, I have a published book, and I had an idea for a second one where we take 10 people who have real stories with, you know, crazy stuff with health, right? And we look at these stories and say, wow, I can't believe they did that through natural healing. And we put these stories together in order to kind of help worldview and change paradigms for people so that they understand that this stuff is possible. And just the way it worked out, even though I had went through my network elsewhere, we're at 9 out of 10 authors right now, 8 of which are FDN. So of course, we're being respectful to FDN. Everyone that is a part of that knows that they will be mentioning FDN as being a part of their healing journey, which I don't think I have to tell them to do that, but we made sure we're respectful to that so that, you know, hey, I got a lot of these people from FDN, so I want to make sure that's honest. But what I'm looking for now for that 10th author, because I'd like to have that in a few days here, is ideally a male with a mental health story. That would be what would fit in perfectly. Right now, we have several people that you guys probably know, Ryan Monahan on here today, Jen Malecka. So we have stories like Hashimoto's, skin cancers, things like that. Maybe not even going the skin cancer route with Jen, we'll see, but stories that you guys have probably heard before. So if you would like a list of the other practitioners, I can send them your way. But I'm really searching for that last person. If we can't get a male with a mental health journey, I'm happy to do something else. So please reach out to me regardless, but we'd love to have you guys in this just so I'm not wasting too much time on the call today. Basically, literally all you have to do is submit to me your story in about 5,000 to 8,000 words. I guide you completely through this process and how to word this. I take care of the rest. This is not something we're doing for profit. We will be donating to a nonprofit that we agree upon, and you will be supported completely along the way. So if you'd like to be a part of a book that is hopefully going to help shift the way society thinks about these things while also getting some exposure to your business or your services, I'd be happy to talk to you and potentially add you in. So you can add me on Facebook or Instagram, Evan Transu, and that's TRANSUE. But unfortunately, I do not have a question today. That's just all I got, because I'm really just looking for that last author.
That's fine. I love it. That's tremendous. I love it, just what we're talking about. So letting people know what's out there and what the possibilities are and what can happen. That's tremendous. I love it. Well, the call's out there, guys, so I don't know. I might fit that bill there a little bit, too. That's part of my history is anxiety and depression, so that may be something I can help with. But we'll definitely put the call out there for you guys to jump on there, let Evan know, reach out to him. He's all over the place. You'll find him very easily. One of our youngest FTM practitioners ever. I will say that. He has that distinction. But that's tremendous. So you guys, if there's something you want to do and be part of that, it's Wow, that's that can have a very, very far reach. So, Evan, thanks for making the announcement there, reaching out.
Sure thing, Brandon.
Yep.
Have
awesome,
a good one.
Awesome PSA,
oh,
Evan.
I'll
thank
bring
you
back here.
And so, you know, that's kind of a no-brainer opportunity for everybody listening. You know, opportunity to get published essentially, and have your story be told to a larger audience for those that end up, you know, it being exposed to the book on Amazon. So that if I understand Evan's mission correctly here, he intends to, you know, self-publish and have this book be sold on Amazon. So, you know, could be essentially free marketing.
That's exactly what it's going to be. And I would have ended up staying muted. But Brandon, in your response to that, I got to be honest, man, I don't think I have you added on Facebook. I sent you a request. I did tag you in one of the posts, and it looks like you didn't see it. Because from my understanding, your story does fit the bill. So, again, I'm not going to waste too much time on this on the call today. But if you would like to, please feel free to reach out to me after that. I'd love to talk to you.
Cool. Sounds good, Evan. Thanks for calling in. That's great.
Very cool. Thanks, Evan. Appreciate it.
Good stuff. Yeah, definitely. So, man, I wasn't aware that was really going on. So that's tremendous. Maybe I can help out there. But hey, anybody else that has a story too? And I don't know many people thinking of all the trainees I've seen over the years, I don't know hardly anybody that doesn't come to the course with some health journey or some health story. It's just kind of exactly a prerequisite. There are some people that just have always been healthy, that didn't really have anything going on. They just had an interest in health. But a lot of this stems out of your own personal health journey or that of a family member, a friend, somebody close to you, a loved one. That's usually where these things start. So it's either mom or their child. So if it's not, if a woman comes to the course, it's very often it's going to be her that has the issue or one of their children. I see that very often, so which is an amazing thing there to be able to help your child or pursue a course like this just to help your child. I don't mean leave the dads out either, but to pursue something like this, maybe you hope that you can find answers for your child when they're suffering, not feeling well. That's a major stress. That's a big, big, big time one there. So kudos to those moms and dads out there that are wanting to help their kids through FDN. That's a great thing. So excellent, Evan. Thanks a lot. Thanks for jumping on there and letting us know about that. All right. Well, guys, we have over half an hour left, so you guys are welcome to ask more questions or, hey, throw out a PSA, an announcement like that. We don't mind you guys doing that on the call here. We want to promote FDN and FDN practitioners. We do that through many different ways, but that's part of what it is. We don't want to be a secret, and we are happy to support and cheer on and let people know if you've got something going. So I know a lot of FDNs have written books or done amazing different programs and things like that, so we are proud of FDN practitioners. More so, I think, I was thinking about the conference this year, I think we have more speakers that are FDN practitioners than I think I've ever seen before, which that's great, right? So come hear your fellow folks be talking on the conference live. So, all right, another hand raise. So I've got 978 area code here. So what's your name, 978?
Hi, guys. It's Donna Sack. Recent grad through it. And
hello.
I'm having a problem. One of my clients we're getting off to a very slow start. She was taking Metulati for her H. pylori, and she, after about 6 days, came down with a really bad hemiplegic migraine, is what she called it. That's her main complaint, was migraines. 21 years old. So I told her to let's try the binder, and we started with she started with GI detox. She was on that for about a week and a half, and then symptoms were raw, irritated stomach, acid reflux, which she hadn't had for a year, nausea and diarrhea. When I put this on Facebook, on the AFDNP Facebook page, I got one response who thought she might have a salicylic acid issue, a salicylate sensitivity, even though on the MRT it showed up green, although she was reactive to ibuprofen. It ended that, well, why not try a binder that's just charcoal, coconut-based charcoal, and bentonite clay without fulvic acid, without aloe, and see how she does on that. I want your opinion.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, good question there. And Ron, you got some thoughts initially?
Well, yeah. So I just want to make sure I've got everything straight. So her primary main health challenge is migraines. And at the moment, she's dealing with H. pylori as a hidden stressor. And only since introducing this protocol along with the binders has she had this flare-up of acid. Is it GERD and acid reflux? And kind of nausea? Is that what was going on? Yeah.
Yes, and diarrhea.
Okay. And you're not supplementing with hydrochloric acid, are you, like HCl?
Nope.
Okay. And what was the binder you were using initially?
GI Detox.
GI Detox. Okay. Curious what to know if you know offhand what kind of other sensitivity showed up for her.
As far as foods?
Yes.
So corn and eggs. Mm-hmm. She's been really good about keeping her reactive foods out of her diet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Excellent. So, yeah, she's very compliant. Yeah, so
yeah.
Migraines is one of those tricky... Go ahead.
Well, I was going to the Dutch test suggested that there's a possible problem with COMT and methylation. So that's on the table, but we've just started this protocol. So I thought, let's just start with the Metula tea, but it's like, we can't seem to go forward here.
Anything else show up on her GI map? Parasites, yeast or fungal overgrowth, any kind of intestinal health issues?
She had candida. She did have dysbiosis. Let's see. Should have been more prepared for you guys.
Oh, no worries. No worries. I don't expect you to have all this memorized.
Let's see. She had opportunistic bacteria. She had high bacillus, enterococcus, staph, aureus, and she did have candida or yeast. Yeah. And a low Sigae.
Okay. That's always a pretty critical one, in my opinion, just because that low secretory IgA can be reflective of chronic ongoing stress that's suppressing the immune system. And having low secretory IgA can also, of course, make you more vulnerable to infection because you don't have those, you know, that immune support or those immune forces there to support you. So definitely, you know, you can always kind of work that angle more when a client's maybe not doing so well with antimicrobials. Maybe try decreasing the dose, like for example, with the tea, instead of 2 bags of Metula tea every day, you might try just in the short term, just 1 bag. So in effect, you're decreasing the dose in half. And then you can also kind of work on things more from an immune support perspective in the sense of, you know, throwing her a lifeboat. Tori IgA, of course, you know, Saccharomyces boulardii, which can also help her with her candida, potentially. Vitamin A is kind of an unsung hero for helping to support secretory IgA. And I'm referring specifically to the retinol form, which is the bioavailable form of vitamin A. So, you know, there's beta carotene that you find in carrots, for example. But in most human beings, very little of that is converted to the active form. And so from the diet, you can get that active form of vitamin A from cod liver oil. You can get it from organ meats. You can get it from grass-fed butter and ghee. Those would probably be the top three sources that I can think of in the diet. And, you know, it's when we're taking on these clients and they're coming off of eating a standard American diet, common to see people not eating any of these more traditional or ancestral foods. So I am a big fan of of getting those types of foods in the diet, just from a nutrient density standpoint. And I think vitamin A deficiency is much more common than we might realize, because people aren't getting enough of it in the diet. So that might be one thing to look at from an immune support perspective. And then also, like I said, maybe kind of just tapering off the tea, maybe even having her take a break for a couple days. I don't necessarily think she's been off the tea.
Yeah, mm-hmm. When she got the hemiplegic migraine, I said, all right, let's hold off on the tea. She'd been on it for 5 or 6 days. And then I thought I'd lay a foundation with the binder. But and then it's been about 9 days on the binder. The migraine went away. Now it's just headaches, which she's had all the time anyway. But all these other symptoms came up, including the acid reflux. So I'm just concerned, is the binder contributing to this at all?
I would personally think that would be pretty rare that someone would be reacting to the binder, unless it's that they're stirring things up too quickly and too aggressively. So in that sense, you know, someone might need to take their detox pathway a little bit more slowly and not so aggressively. So, that is something to consider. And of course, all of the sort of supportive or tertiary things that you can do to support detox and liver function can be very helpful here. So making sure she's drinking plenty of water. That's something that many of our clients may be forgetting, some of these very just simple, basic things. And, you know, generally, I like to recommend close to about 2 liters of water a day. You know, for the average person, it's about 8 to 10 cups of water. Then, you know, things like dry brushing, castor oil packs, sauna or infrared sauna. You know, there's lots of things you can do to as sort of using these detox modalities that don't necessarily always involve supplementation. So that might be something to consider there too. Now, stepping back and looking at headaches and migraines more generally as a primary health challenge or complaint, you know, you might look at some other things that might potentially drive that. So food sensitivities can definitely be one. I've also seen it common for a client with chronic headaches and migraines could potentially be something like a magnesium deficiency. There's also an association with migraines and a vitamin B2 deficiency, which is riboflavin. That comes up a lot in the scientific literature of this riboflavin deficiency being associated with headaches and migraines. If you wanted to run some more testing, you can run an organic acid test from Great Plains. There is a marker on there for B2 status, so you can test her riboflavin levels and look at that, because I think that would be worth it. That's something I'm always wanting to look at in someone with migraines. On the more complex side of the scale, I have seen, at least in my population of clients, that there can be a significant association between migraines and mold exposure. So if someone's living in a moldy home, for example, and they end up with mold colonization in their gut and in their system, those mold species can produce mold toxins in your body. They're called mycotoxins. And the majority of those mycotoxins are small enough to cross the blood-brain barrier. And they can cause a lot of brain inflammation. I've actually seen this connection in a handful of clients with chronic migraines and headaches and that sort of thing. So that same test, the organic acid test from Great Plains, it's a really great start for looking at someone who might potentially be dealing with a fungal or a mold issue. And if she already has candida, I can tell you from experience that, you know, that can often correlate with other types of mold colonization in the gut, like aspergillus, penicillium, and other black mold even. Right, so this is kind of next level stuff for sure. But you know, we always have that medical director program to rely on if you wanted to run an organic acid test and, you know, schedule a clinical consult and look at one of those tests. Those might be some deeper things to look at that might explain, you know, why she's not moving the needle.
Good thoughts, Ryan. Good, awesome stuff there. Yeah. So maybe down just overarching here. It's great when things go really easy, right? And everything lines up, protocol goes great. And that's going to happen most of the time. Like the vast majority of the time, at least with my clients, I hear from a lot of people, it's great when it goes really easy, but there will be a handful of clients you have that it just isn't super easy and it involves a lot of course correction and a couple steps forward, maybe a step back, trying some different things. That's just kind of part of the process we do. That's what I was alluding to at the beginning of this call, is that there's not many practitioners that are going to do the level and kind of work that we're going to do for a person. You know, the fact that you've called in on a Friday call, you posted a post about it already, look at the effort you're putting forth to help this person out. So it's tremendous there. So kudos to you for reaching out for answers and doing that. But sometimes that is the way that it goes, and it's just a little slower. So like Ryan said, slow is okay. Slow is not a bad thing. Now, slow, the only time slow is a bad thing is when that person has unreasonable expectations and they're impatient and they want something to change immediately and their body isn't cooperating. So it's not Donna did a bad job, Donna's protocol doesn't work, she doesn't know what she's doing. It's their body's not always cooperating with what we have lined out, and that's okay, and that's what happens sometimes. So I would say, I don't know if you're having this challenge, but I would go back to expectations and mindset for her, just to make sure that she is solid and that this is the only way to address the issues I have, and that whatever it takes, and whatever changes or course correction or switches and changes in supplements that we have to do, if I have to talk to Donna every other day to tell her what is changing in my body, then I'm up for that. So I would just say make sure she has the mindset right. So if somebody knows that this is the only way to do this, they're confident that this is the process that's going to make them better, and you are as committed as they are, and you lean into everything, and you are in good communication, then you're going to make progress, or you're going to get the answers. But if either party is not that fully committed, then it just needs to end there. It's just a mismatch as far as the mindset goes. So that's what I'm talking about, mindset. So if that's totally her mindset and she knows and trusts this process and you as a practitioner, then you guys are going to get figured out. It may not come next week, but it will eventually come. So, you know, slow is okay. Again, then anything is possible. Could a binder cause that situation in her? You know, experience, I've seen, I agree with Ryan, maybe not likely, but is it possible? Shoot, yeah. In all these 10 years I've been doing this, and Ryan can attest to that as well, there's so many different oddball things that occur. You're like, really? That's actually happening? Okay, that's a new one. I haven't heard that before, but okay, that does seem to be what is happening in that person's body. And that's just sort of okay. So this is going to be a course correction situation, and probably you're going to be talking to this person every few days or often.
I actually
keep very good notes.
Everything you said, I'm actually doing that.
Tremendous.
We text or talk every 2 or 3 days, and we both decided slow is the way to go. And she's only 21, but she's been suffering with this for a good 10 years plus. And
that's another big point there. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and her mother had this problem with their menstrual cycle. Her grandmother had this problem where it got worse during the cycles. So the other problem is dress. She's not feeling well most of the time. So just to implement any form of exercise is an issue. The one good thing she's done is implement a good diet. And she's added, I've gotten her to try cruciferous vegetables slowly. She's been really good about that. It's really hard to adhere to a diet that doesn't have eggs in it or corn. But she's doing really well there. So the idea that there could be a salicylate issue, is that it's possible but probably not?
I think it's certainly possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's possible, but I tend to think of those kinds of, I guess, for lack of a better term, like oddball type sensitivities. Like, it's not as common to see like a salicylate sensitivity, but I tend to see that as a symptom of something deeper, of, you know, like gut dysfunction, immune dysregulation. And so if reducing salicylates provides her with relief, then, you know, certainly sometimes you need to throw someone a lifeboat just to get them to feel a little better. But, I would just continue to keep the big picture in mind and work through some of those, you know, deeper issues that are coming up. And you know, like Brandon said, you know, if it's any consolation to it, you know, I've been in practice now for about 5 years, not quite as long as Brandon, but I'm getting there. I'm catching up to him. But I can tell you from experience that it's actually rare for me to, and it could be the type of client that I see, but it's actually rare for me to get, you know, instantaneous results. It's a process. This stress stuff is a process. And if you're saying she's had these chronic migraines for 10 years, you know, that's a sign to me that that's not someone that's maybe even see, not going to see dramatic results in even a 3 or 6 month period. They might often have a little bit more of a longer road ahead of them if they have some of these deeper, long-standing issues. And just to kind of reiterate too what I said before about the whole mold thing, when I see a client that's had chronic health issues for about a decade and has tried everything and even diet and lifestyle stuff isn't helping them, that to me is a red flag that they might have some kind of mold exposure and maybe have lived in a home with leaky pipes or a plumbing issue or visible water damage, black mold, musty smells in the house is a really big clue for a mold issue. And I say all this having lived through this myself and having lived in a house with a really, really bad mold problem that was a primary driver of many of my own chronic health issues. So it was kind of a miracle for me to finally figure that out. And everything turned around for me when I finally figured out it was a mold issue. And I'm not saying that every client's going to, you know, I don't want to create a problem where there isn't one. I'm not saying all clients are going to have a mold issue by any means. But for some of these very trickier cases, client has a lot of difficulty detoxing, doesn't respond well to supplements, seems to be very sensitive to everything, not just diet, but supplements, but maybe even like light sensitivity, you know, or sound sensitivity, like just kind of sound. Almost sensory. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sound sensitivity for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Those kinds of issues can suggest a lot of neuroinflammation. And if I were to kind of sort of pin mold illness on one kind of thing that it results or triggers in the body, it's a significant amount of neuro or brain inflammation.
All right. Well, this is helpful to get these ideas. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. And just as a starting place, you know, you don't even necessarily have to run a bunch of tests right away. Just try to see if you can ask them questions about, you know, where she's lived and, you know, the type of exposure she might have had, because I'll often ask those questions to a client and, you know, have you ever lived in a musty, moist basement apartment before? Yeah, actually I have. Okay. Did you ever live in a house where there was black mold that was visible on the walls or in the bathroom? And yes, actually I have. You know, a client might not think that's relevant, so they don't tell you unless you ask them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's where the regular communication, asking lots of questions, get to know the person really well. Things are going to be uncovered, just like this is a kind of detective work or archaeology or whatever analogy you want to use. You know, sometimes it's like brush the dirt away, and there it is all on the surface, very easy. Just pick it up and you go. It's very easy. Sometimes things are much deeper, and there's more in the way, and not that they're trying to, you know, keep anything from you. It's just like Ryan said, may not even be a thing they think is significant or haven't quite connected that dot yet. So that's the power of a partnership working together. So So I think, Donna, you're doing all the right things, it sounds like, mindset and texting on a regular basis. And it's probably going to be a thing where you might have a few months here where it's a little intense as far as lots of communication and then course correction. But eventually, you're going to start to have some momentum and things will start to move in a positive direction. Analogy that Bill Wolcott used to use often was if you're going to turn a cruise ship or a big, you know, big sailing ship, it's not something that you can just, like a car, just slow down, turn on a dime, and go back the other direction. There's a whole process to slow a big vessel down, to make a turn, and then to go back the other direction. So you may be in these first few phases here of that turn before you start to get momentum and things start to roll from there, kind of exponentially improve. And, you know, I've heard the good rule of thumb, too, however many years you've been dealing with a particular condition, just plan for that many months before things are resolved. So if she said, you know, 10 years of dealing with this, then maybe, like Ryan said, 6, 8 months, 10 years, or 10 months before things are looking where they want them to be. So, but I think you're going to get there. I'm actually very confident you are, so... Hopefully that's helpful. Yes. Hard to do some of these individual case calls on a Friday call without everything in front of us, but hopefully that's given you some more direction.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Welcome.
I really like that analogy about, you know, steering the ship and course correcting just by 1% at a time. If you just make these little changes, it might not seem like a lot, but in a year from now, you're going to be in a totally different direction that you were than from when you started, just by those little changes. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's, you know, if you were to make just 1% improvement a day, you know, at the end of the year, you'll be a new
person. It's the small little things each day. That's the big things. But it kind of reminds me a little bit, not the exact same thing, Donna, but we're talking about these more odd or not the most normal hidden stressors, but have a personal client, and breast implant illness was the thing she was suffering with. And she didn't know that for probably a good 10 years, and she tried everything that was out there. Supplements never seemed to really go that well. She couldn't tolerate many supplements very long, energy issues, odd symptoms. Did all sorts of things to try to figure it out, and dietary changes. I mean, doing really well, like all the things you'd want somebody to do fundamentally. And, you know, I started working with her and got, you know, in my intake form, I asked about all those things, dental things and mold and breast implant illness and implants and surgeries, things like that. It's good to have those on your intake form so you can ask about the history there, implants of any sort, you know, metal implants, whatever. Ask about those things so you have that information, and then you want to bring that up. So partway through our protocol working together, we ran all the labs. And, you know, things were going along okay. Probably she said better than she ever has had before. So the lab testing did give us some insight into a better dress protocol than what she was able to come up with on her own, just by observation. So things were moving along pretty good, but we'd always hit a roadblock after a few weeks. It just, you know, she would, a little bit like Donna's client here, so something would happen, wouldn't feel good, just felt like I just can't process all these supplements. It just, something was there, and I saw the breast implant side of things. I said, hey, this is something I think we need to look at and get into, and I just was talking to, I think I had another client, past client, that had similar struggles, and she had just emailed me out of the blue, you know, if there's coincidence in this world, but it was kind of fun. Got an email from her saying that she had explant surgery, and within 24 hours, she's a totally new person because she had had a very, very strict diet and really strict protocol because at the time back then, it wasn't, this was probably 7 or 8 years ago, actually, one of my early clients. I wasn't thinking about that. That wasn't on the radar. I didn't even know to ask about that. So it wasn't something I was thinking about. And she had explant surgery, and it was just like a new person within 24, 48 hours. So that sort of was a nice little reminder there of that. And so I brought it up with my client and said, hey, we need to look into something. This could be a thing. And just like a lot of people, you know, it can be resistant to do that because it's like, well, you know, I've got to go through a surgery and all of this, and well, it's a whole thing. And lo and behold, you know, more she studied about it, more I researched. We've got several people within the FCN community that sort of, like we talked about, niche in that and know a lot about that. So Diane Kaiser and Sarah Philippi there, both great resources there. I think they've even partnered together. Ryan, you may know some more, but Anyhow, so yeah, brought that up, and she had explant surgery. It's been a couple months now, and like a brand new person. And so that was the big blocking factor. Didn't matter how many binders or support products or the Cadillac of supplements or anything we were doing, that blocking factor was so huge with her body that we were never going to get there until that was dealt with. And so she's been recovering really, really nicely, and just spoke with her recently, and she's just so amazed. She's like, it's a miracle, the change there. So sometimes there are situations like that where you have those big blocking factors. So not that it's going to be everybody. Mm-hmm. Some people, I don't know, people might have, kind of like with gluten, some people say gluten is bad for everybody. Nobody tolerates gluten at all. I think there's some camps there with when it comes to, you know, surgical implants and things like that. Some people, hey, they seem to be tolerating it just fine. No problem. It's not causing any health issues. Other people would say it's not. It's a foreign object in the body, so it's never good. But regardless, there's one story. But just some things to be thinking about, you know. Hopefully that we can get her where she wants to be, Donna, so we'll help out.
That's amazing, Brandon, that story that you shared about the client getting better in just a day or two. And that just resonates with me so much with my own mold journey, because I had been eating a pretty impeccable diet for years and was doing all the right dress protocol stuff and just wasn't really getting the results that I wanted to see. And for me, the linchpin was all this mold that I was exposed to and breathing in on a day-to-day basis. And long story short, I'll spare you all the details. We'll save that for another time. But when, you know, we finally figured this out and we relocated to a home that didn't have a mold issue. It was a brand new building that had been built within the past 2 years. It took me about a month for all of my symptoms to resolve. And I had been working at this for nearly a decade, almost 10 years. But once I found that thing, you know, and that's how it can be sometimes, you know, hopefully, you know, it doesn't take our clients 10 years to get better, but that's why they work with us, because we're aware of all these kinds of things. But, you know, and of course I wish I had known sooner, but that's where we can really help accelerate the healing process for somebody, is knowing about things like breast implant illness or mold illness. Some of these things that might be holding them back from healing. You know, I often say with mold illness that when you're taking binders and you're eating an anti-inflammatory diet, those all might be holding you together, but it's still kind of just like trying to put out a house fire with a garden hose, right? Until you've really, you know, made that connection that, say, you know, could be breast implant situation that's continuing to drive your health complications, or it's a mold illness issue, you know, sometimes it does kind of take this investigative approach, and you just have to dig at it long enough. Eventually you'll find it, you know. And I say this all the time too, your symptoms don't just occur in a vacuum. There's always a reason for it. And, you know, if you dig long enough and you work hard enough at it, you're going to find it. You're going to figure it out. And you're going to, you know, be able to restore your health back to, even if you're in the deepest, darkest depths of the ocean and you feel like there's no way out, there's always a way out.
Mm-hmm. Good words. I love it. So, wow. Good stuff here. This is powerful call. So, Donna, good. I'm glad you brought this up here. That's good to tie in with what we're saying here in the beginning. So maybe that was just in the spirit here. We needed to all talk about these things. A lot of times it goes really easy, and it's great, and it's fun. Other times there's a little more challenge, but it's worth it in the end. So, all right. Well, we got about a minute left here, guys, so we're going to wrap up the call here today. But I want to say thanks to Donna there for the great case study question there, and for Evan there jumping on with his announcement there for the book. I've got that circled, Evan, so maybe I can get back around to you on that. And then, hey, our graduates. So Kelly Lee and Ariel, congratulations, guys. And
congratulations.
Brian, thanks for being on with me.
My pleasure, as always.
And congratulations. So, all right, guys, we'll do it again next week.